Conversations with Alaskan Gardeners is your gateway to exploring the vibrant world of gardening here in Juneau. Join us as we celebrate the passion and resilience of Juneau's gardening community, sharing insights, tips, and stories from the experts. Here's Margaret Tharp and David Lundrum of Landscape Alaska on KINY.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Spring's here. Margaret and Dave are back on the air. You can tell everything's right in the world. Thanks for coming in today, Margaret.
You bet, Dave. Glad to. So glad to see the sunshine. I'm sure everybody loved the snow this winter, but it was a little over the top for me.
Yeah, we had about 8 feet in our yard.
Yes, we did.
It was plenty. We had to hire dump trucks and loaders to get it out of there. So
It's springtime now.
The first shipments are arriving. The stuff that we saved over the winter in our greenhouses is all out and set around, and the very first of the bedding plants are in town. And vegetable starts, yum, yum, yum.
Yeah, carrots.
Carrots. I've never seen carrots as a bedding plant crop, but they look great.
They look great. They're in six packs.
Yeah.
And not only that, we have sweet peas.
Both the sweet eating peas and
the flowering.
Flowering peas.
I'm excited about that.
And all new staff, so everybody's all fresh, and except for Mahita. Mahita, thank you so much for coming back. We're thrilled to have you. So Landscape Alaska is our boutique nursery on the back loop road. It doesn't have a big sign on the road. You have to know where it is.
The snowplow took out our mailbox, so the mailbox now is a sawhorse that we made. So when you see the sawhorse, you go up the hill.
Or you can look on the website, and there's a picture of the driveway, and we're able to get there. We have an online market on our website, and a lot of stuff is not on there. So look at that, and then come on up and check us out. We're open from Tuesday through Sunday, and we're closed on Mondays.
And we have great fruiting trees this year. Really, really exciting. Bali cherries.
Okay, so there is a story. This is a self-pollinating cherry tree, and it's a sweet cherry.
And it's an ancient variety, right?
It was actually found on an abandoned farmstead outside of Edmonton, Alberta.
Exactly.
Way, way, way beyond where cherries normally grow. So now
they're growing them.
Now they're growing them, and it's one of the most desirable cherries around.
Well, and they're a nicely well-branched, small tree.
Yeah, they'll make
it's really cool.
They might get 8 feet and about 8 feet across.
Wide, yeah, but they're nicely branched.
And they're in full bloom right now, so they look lovely.
The bees were just going crazy with all the flowers, flowering trees yesterday.
We unloaded flowering crab apples and flowering cherries and flowering.
We even have a Braeburn semi-dwarf apple.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Pretty cool. Uh-huh. So if you want one in Angoon, be sure to call me up, okay? We're thrilled to be able to reach out to you.
And if you want to call, does the show take phone calls still?
586-1800.
Yes. You can call in. Any questions you want to talk about? We'd love to hear from you.
And we had a real interesting contact this morning on the Juneau Gardening Facebook community. A person asking what to do about cats that were using their flower beds as a litter box.
Don't you usually recommend a seine net?
That's what we've done. That certainly works well.
You lay it over the top and put your plants, give your plants, cut it out where the plants are, but not have the soft dirt there for the cats to dig in.
Yeah, they hate getting their claws stuck in the seine net.
Yeah, that's a pretty good thing.
Uh-huh. You know? I read about people using chain link fence. But it's
a little harder to deal with.
A little harder for me to deal with, yeah. And one guy said he put chain link fence and screwed it out into the soil with big bolts. He must be dealing with really big cats. That's all I can say. Springtime comes, you know, and all the things start coming up out of your garden, start poking their little leaves up. The peonies are poking up their heads. The irises are poking up their heads. And your first thought is, well, really, I've got to clean it up around here.
And water. With all this sun this week, you should definitely be watering your landscape.
Particularly things that you planted last year that don't have a really well-established root system yet.
Right.
So you're going to water it and then do a little bit of cultivation, and then they're ready for a springtime fertilizer.
I always like to water one day and fertilize the next to make sure that the water's gone deeply enough around the roots. that it's protected. If you put fertilizer on a dry plant, it tends to burn it. So you don't want to do that.
And fertilizer doesn't just look like salt. It is a salt. Mm-hmm. So it actually sucks moisture into itself in order to dissolve and then become available to the plant. So you don't want to get it on the little tender buds that are poking up out of the ground. Put it on the ground around them. Yes, let it go into the soil and dissolve, but don't put it right on them. What else needs fertilizing this time of year is the rhododendrons.
Well, you know, rhododendrons are like 350-pound hogs tied up in your garden edge. They need to be fed every month, well, up until the 4th of July or so, so they can set their flowers for next year. If they don't have buds on them now, they're not. They won't. Your next opportunity is next year's buds, and that's why you feed them.
That's right.
And they're big plants.
And, they're heavy feeders, that's right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it, if you could look at the end of the rhododendron branch now, and there's a bud there. And if you see them and there are some buds that are large in the plant and some buds that are small, that's the difference. The large ones are the flower buds. The small ones are leaf and new branch buds.
So, and to keep your plants healthy in this climate, with all the rain we get and everything, you really do need to fertilize them.
And you make sure that the fertilizer you have has micronutrients, copper and cobalt, manganese, boron,
and molybdenum.
Calcium. And molybdenum, that's right. None of it in very large quantities, you know, and it'll say on the side of the bag, whether it's just a one-shot and done fertilizer like 832-16, or whether it's something that is more slow release with all the other micronutrients in it.
You know, the other thing that you had come in this week were some beautiful peonies. Those are robust plants.
I didn't get very many of them. There were not very many available to me, but I did.
I think they're in a 3-gallon. They're
and a
big.
Really dark red. A really, mm-hmm. really, really dark red.
Great. Good.
Called General Mahone. Every plant's got a name.
Of course.
And it's not just like it's a peach tree. There's going to be some other kind of peach tree, like a Red Haven peach tree or a early Alberta peach tree.
So, and next week we'll get, although this year week we got lots of herbs and annuals, snapdragons, dwarf ones and full-sized ones. Next week we'll have the bulk of our perennials will be coming in.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot.
And they're really, it's so exciting when the perennials come in. We have some nice delphinium right now and bleeding heart and columbine. But most of them are herbs and annuals.
Mm-hmm. That was the first hit. Things people want right away. They're
right.
Going to give color right away, instantly. We also brought in some cyclamen. And these are ones you're going to have in your house or your greenhouse. They're not going to be able to be an outdoor plant. But they are so beautiful.
Yeah, I love the fact that when they go to seed, that the plant turns its head down into the ground and plants itself.
Screws itself down into the ground.
It's amazing.
It's so cool. And when you look at the flowers, the petals on most flowers
it's
point
like something out of
these,
outer
they're
space.
Swept up like a 1950s hairdo. You know, swept up past their face, and they're in such luscious pink and lavender and purple colors.
Really pretty, mm-hmm. and no doubt.
So one of the purposes of our radio show is to have people be aware of what's in bloom and what's exciting in other parts of the town, other people's yards. So if you have something in your yard or in your neighborhood that is quite fantastic and you think other people would like to appreciate it, don't hesitate. Call us up, share it with the rest of the community, let everybody know what's really cool right now.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, that we got in that people have been clamoring for are the hydrangea vines.
That's right.
And they're really nice. They look great.
Climbing hydrangea is one of the most successful climbing and grasping kind of things we have around here. It grows fast. It gets big. Our friend plants it at the bottom of the spruce trees and lets it climb up the spruce trees itself.
And they go way up there. But you don't want to have them climb directly on your house. You need to build a trellis for them because they'll just eat the wood up.
they have roots that come out of their stems as they're growing up, roots that go and dig right into stuff around them. So, yeah, don't put them on your house.
Where do climbing hydrangeas come from? Are they from China?
probably almost all the hydrangeas are, except for those big mop heads that are native to Georgia.
There are native hydrangeas to Georgia?
Georgia, Alabama,
really?
Carolinas, he's right.
Wow,
it's
that's
a,
great.
It's a shrubby plant that lives in the understory there.
I always like to know the origin.
I do too.
Of where plants come
I love
from.
It. And the whole idea that as you get closer and closer to the center of origin of something, the number of varieties multiplies incredibly.
Right.
And when you get right down to it, the place that had, where apples started, there's 1,000 kind of apples growing in that valley that are...
So where did apples start?
In the Hindu Kush.
Oh my goodness.
Where India runs into Asia.
Think about what it was like to be a Victorian and being able to go travel through the East.
I do think about
it
all the time.
With your servants collecting seed and taking cuttings and, you know.
And it was a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
You know, they'd fall into pits that had been dug to trap elephants. People would see them with all that stuff and swoop down like bandits and take everything and leave them either naked or dead. You know, and so many times they had these things called Woodward cases, which were like a small portable greenhouse, like 2 feet by 2 feet and a foot high, or 2 feet and 2 feet, 2 feet.
Uh-huh.
And they're little glass houses. And they would carry those. They'd have their porters carrying them out into the jungle and dig things up and put them in them. And
to preserve them until they could get back to England.
And put them on a ship and send them to England, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. How long a trip that would be from the Far East to England and take
same
months.
Thing with like tulip bulbs, you know. Mm-hmm. It would take them a couple of years to get to Western Europe, dig them up in Turkestan and someplace out in the steppe.
It's amazing. So this is a call-in show. We have some stories to share. Call us up.
That's right. And if you don't want to call up, you don't want to be on the air, come drop by. You can always use the internet too. You can use the internet through our website, landscapealaska.com. And we respond, and we send stuff all over Southeast Alaska, by the way. So if you have something that you want, if you want a rhododendron, if you want to have a lilac, if you want to have one of those Miss Kim lilacs that's a dwarf Korean form, gets about 6 feet tall, blooms lavender purple around the 4th of July, turns colors in the autumn.
Really pretty. Dark purple leaves in the fall.
Yeah. All you got to do is just send us a message, and we'll put it on the airplane, on the seaplane, have it fly right out to you. So our last year's sessions were all recorded, and they're available as a podcast. And we were just speaking with the KIMY personnel, and it's available on the podcast wherever you get podcasts. So you can look up, you can go to Apple Podcast, or I don't know where they are, but they're out in the world. And you look up Conversations with Alaskan Gardeners, and there you'll see the whole last year's span of them.
You can listen to us blab. We're good at blabbing.
Blab, 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 blab. Okay, so the cherry trees, the apple trees. Let's talk about lawns.
What about the dogwoods? You bought dogwood trees.
I did. I bought dogwood trees.
And I'm taking two of them.
Uh-oh. I only bought four.
Well, two are for me.
So for everybody that's came to the nursery last year, there are new, hardy, upright dogwood trees that have pink flowers and red flowers on them. They get to be 10 feet tall, and they bloomed for almost 3 months. And the flowers were the size of the palm of my hand. And bright, bright pink.
Now, these are called kusa, right?
Kusa, K-O-U-S-A, mm-hmm. Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a bright red fruit after the flowers. Very, very cool.
Yeah. And people who bought them last year, let us know how they got through the winter this year.
We're counting on that. The one that we kept looks great.
Good.
I mean, it went undercover in the wintertime like all the rest of the stuff, but it looks great this spring. It's coming out, air is fine.
You know, we had that long, long cold spell that went on for about a month where it was 20 degrees, 5 degrees.
Yeah.
It was really harsh. But anyway.
But you know, the year before was death to many trees. This year, I don't think we lost anything.
I don't know.
It could be that everything got killed the 2 years before. But,
that's right.
But there we are. We have trees that we've had for 50 years that died during that last winter.
I don't know why, though. They didn't like it. Yeah, they didn't.
Okay.
And of course, our new location is colder than where we've lived before, too.
So as you're looking out at your lawn, everybody's favorite topic, their lawn, then you see that in your lawn tasks are controlling moss and thatching out the old dead grass and fertilizing it and cutting it for its first time. And all those lawn tasks that are so attractive and so desirable. The sequence would be to put on the moss, first use a light rake and clean up the twigs and debris. Then put the moss killer on before the grass really starts growing.
And moss killer is what?
Iron sulfate.
Iron sulfate, that's it.
Right. So, and you can buy it at Home Depot.
It's not a harsh chemical.
No, it's not. Moss out. Mm-hmm. And you, we use the liquid one because it
happens so quickly.
It's so satisfying to stand there and watch the moss turn black right in front of you. And then let it work for a couple of days, and then get your thatcher out and thatch it up, or a heavy rake, or your kids, or
I recommend it done. if it's heavy moss, use a thatcher.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't get it if you just rake it.
And you want to get down to the soil surface.
You want
That's
bare earth between your grass blades so that you can reseed it and fertilize it.
And putting new grass seed on, if the grass seed does not contact the earth's surface, it won't grow.
It won't germinate.
So it has to get down there. So before you put new grass seed on, you thatch it, you mow it really short, and then you thatch it, and then you can clean it all up and get your blower out. Blow as much as you can off of it, and then put the grass seed on, along with another coat of fertilizer at the same time.
And if it's really bare, you need to sprinkle peat moss over the top of it to keep the seed viable for the 3 weeks it's going to take for the different seeds to come through.
Every kind of grass seed has a different germination rate. And something like ryegrass germinates in 7 to 10 days, where bluegrass takes 30 days to germinate. So
a ryegrass is an annual grass, though.
No, there's two kinds.
There's a perennial one and an annual.
And when you get grass seed and you look on the side of the package, it'll give you the percentage by weight of each kind of grass that's in it. Because they make grass seed mixes have 4 or 5 kinds of grass
right
already in them. So some grows best where it's hot and dry, and some grows best where it's shady and wet.
Well, I'm not a big fan of grass, but I take care of a lot of them.
Right, I know. It's like my friends that are mechanics, most of them drive old cars. they work on them so often, it's just a part of their life. So where do we stand? I think we're good here. We'd like to invite you to come and visit us, even if you're not looking to buy something right now. One of the real attractive things that we brought in this year are some Western red cedars. Now, Western red cedar, we're right at the northern edge of hardiness for Western red cedars, but these are newer varieties developed by the universities for use in domestic settings.
So they don't get gigantic.
They don't get 250 feet.
Right.
They get 30 feet. Mm-hmm. You know, but
well,
that's
30
still,
feet in 50 or 60 years.
That's right. And you can prune them. You can keep them lower like that, and they're a real popular hedge plant on the East Coast.
And they put up with the snowfall better than the arborvitas.
Way better. They got a strong central spine,
mm-hmm.
so they don't blow apart like an arborvita does.
Right.
And another nice thing about them is their aroma.
Yes.
They really...
We were working around them yesterday, and everybody was oohing and aahing how fragrant they were.
We have a 25-footer in our yard that we've moved 4 or 5 times as we move around, and it's a majestic-looking tree.
We're done moving, aren't we?
Yeah, maybe. All depends on what comes tomorrow, darling. So, and the conifers, they also have, if you look at spruce trees, our native spruce here, the Sitka spruce, it's a stiff, spiny, blue-gray kind of a plant, very, very rigid looking. And there are other kinds of spruces that are very different. A Norway spruce is a bright, bright green.
And you bought some firs.
I bought some firs. I always like to buy some firs. I just
they are
them.
Really pretty. They're really blue.
The blue and green,
the new, and the new growth on it's almost a yellow green. It's really contrasting.
And that also, you talk about a conifer that has great aroma. Mm-hmm. A true fir tree is just, you can pick them out easily.
Well, they're
just
not
brushing your hand against
not
them.
Prickly like spruces.
Not at all. Soft to the touch.
Right.
Very much like a kitty.
Mm-hmm.
We know a guy who has a nursery called Peace of Mind who grows exotic conifers. That's his entire business. And for years, he was selling, 50 trees, 25 trees, 100 trees all over the western U.S. And then someday the light turned on and he began selling cut branches into the florist trade. And cut branches of exotic conifers not only hold their color a long time and give that aroma, but they last, three or four flower changes in an arrangement. So,
well, meeting nurserymen is really cool. They're really creative and earnest people on the whole.
Absolutely.
And that man, I'll never forget meeting him, telling me that his nursery was called Peace of Mind. I burst out laughing. It's like, well, my nursery doesn't give me peace of mind. My nursery drives me crazy. But and he was so happy.
So happy. And he'd been some kind of an IBM guy earlier in his life. And one day decided, this is not it for me. I want to do something else.
And, growing things is a real satisfying endeavor. And that's why gardening is such a powerful act, and that people, it does give them peace of mind to be out there and being creative and nurturing the world. It's a wonderful thing.
Latest research says that it works in both directions. Not only does your brain and psyche send out comforting messages to yourself when you are gardening, but there actually are interactions with soil bacteria that get absorbed through your skin that are not tranquilizers, but are mood enhancers.
Well, it drives me. This whole shebang, the moving to Alaska and being in this powerful landscape and meeting you and learning about the horticulture business, because just because you go to landscape architecture school, you don't know anything about anything when you get done with it. And you have to be out in the world to really understand what plant material really does. And stay on top of it.
Oh yeah, it changes so often.
Yeah, it's
and what was desirable and culturally hip, 100 years ago.
Well, I wasn't alive then.
It's just it's all different.
You were alive then, though. I know you were.
I'm not quite that old. It's as changeable as the length of your skirts. What was desirable and cool then is now passé.
Well. It doesn't make any difference what's modern or what is in. The fact that you're working with the earth is a satisfying endeavor to me. And that's really why I don't want to do any harm.
I tell you,
I don't want any poisons. I don't want to do that. I outsmart all that stuff. And those people that came yesterday to show us those mature
horse tail
things, it was like something from outer space. It was so big.
They had a property that they just got into this spring, and there was a flower bed there, 25 foot long by 10 foot flower bed, and coming up in it were the little, looked like spore caps, the
huge,
male.
They looked like pine cones.
Yep, and that's the horsetail coming up out of the ground. And they had never seen it before. I had no idea what it was.
I'd never seen it before.
We just had to laugh about it. Said, oh, well, you know what it's going to be. It's going to be horsetail, no matter what.
It was a horrible thing. But anyway.
There's a solution. There's several solutions.
Yep.
And we ran through the whole gamut of it. And one of the things was that it's a design problem, too.
Of course.
You can design your way out of it.
I love it when you start talking about what was fashionable 100 years ago. I'd like to know what's fashionable today, Dave.
What's really fashionable right now is that blanket of crocus that you planted around the Capitol building. That is fashionable right now. Well, all over crocus, the country. That kind of hit where it comes, you don't see it, and suddenly it's there, and then it goes away again.
And that's comes back real the next hit. Year.
Yeah.
And you don't have to re-dig them or anything eats them or...
All you have to do is remember in the fall that you want them. Because you
have to plant them in the fall.
You have to plant them in the fall.
Crocus.
But if you forget that and don't get around to it, well, then you have to wait till next fall.
Well, the thing is, tulips and daffodils are not always successful. It's really location, 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 and how much water's in the ground and how wet the soil is. And then the ravens love to pick the red tulips, and so people who are fascinated with red get upset because...
Somebody else is fascinated with red as much as they are.
They pick them with their beaks and fly off with them.
Uh-huh. It is astounding.
You know, it's
anybody
hilarious.
Says ravens are just a bird, they are crafty, and they have their
they
own
have taste.
Precedence.
They have, know what they like.
And they take the pretty thing.
Uh-huh.
It's not something they're going to eat. It's only valuable because it's pretty. And they take it and fly off with it.
Huh? Are we out of time? Is it time for us to say...
Oh, I think we've got 4 minutes here.
Okay. Well, realize we're going to be on the radio every Saturday, and if you'd like to talk about something, please give us a call. And otherwise, we'll just keep blabbing like we are.
That's fine with us.
Entertaining ourselves.
But you can also send us messages either to the radio station or... to our own email, landscapealaska@gmail.com, and ask us to address certain questions. Ask us to talk about, you know, pruning rhododendrons so that they can be manageable again. Or what kind of fruit trees grow well here? Or how do you handle peonies that don't bloom anymore?
Oh, and the other thing we have that we have to bring up from Montana Creek is we have all those gooseberries.
There you go. If you want a crop that grows well in Southeast Alaska and provides you an incredible amount of fresh fruit per square foot,
I have to just pick them, put them in a plastic bag, and throw them in the freezer. You don't have to do anything with them, and they just stay. You know, I use them for baking all kinds of meats and things and use them as a topping.
Really, really delicious as a topping on top of a roast. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And they're also, they look so cool. And so they're both ornamental, and they look so disciplinedly productive.
Mm-hmm.
Like every joint in them has a berry on it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Very cool. And
are we out of currants? Do we have currants?
I think we have a few currants left.
Okay.
And we also got
we have strawberries.
Beautiful Reka blueberries that are from Finland.
Oh, the blueberry is incredible.
And these are not the wild blueberry. They're more like the large fruit of blueberry that you buy when you go to Whole Foods or natural places. And they have large, really, really sweet berries later in the season than our wild ones. And they come as a cluster like grapes. You get dozens of berries.
Oh, they're all covered in flowers now.
That's right.
They look great.
And the bees are going crazy for it.
Yep. Well, come see us at Landscape Alaska on the Back Loop Road.
11029, right near Goat Hill Road.
With the sawhorse, the wooden sawhorse along the side because we don't have a mailbox.
Well, too bad, Joe. We'll get another one for you to knock down. Okay, so we'll be open until 5 o'clock this afternoon. And generally, we open at 10 and close at about 4 or 5. And if you need some kind of special attention, don't hesitate to call or write or text us to us. We're always responsive. We like that kind of stuff. So now we're coming to the end of our show. I think we're going to sign off. We'll talk to you again next week. And until next week, this is Margaret Tharp and David Lundrum from Landscape Alaska. And we're wishing you all happy gardening.
Mm-hmm.
Conversations with Alaskan Gardeners is your gateway to exploring the vibrant world of gardening here in Juneau. Join us as we celebrate the passion and resilience of Juneau's gardening community, sharing insights, tips, and stories from the experts.